Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson. Lori spends her days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. She talks to students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. She's here to share their stories along with other insights with you. So let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori, and welcome back to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. Today I am joined, I have a co-host today, I'm so excited. Today I'm joined by Kara. She is one of my co-directors. Hi Kara, thank you for being here.
Hi Lori, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So today we are going to dig in and talk about a pretty popular topic and a question that we get asked a lot. What type of dyslexia does my child have? Or I think my child has XYZ type of dyslexia. And I think we kind of want to crack the code or demystify the types of dyslexia and get into it. Because honestly, if you Google types of dyslexia, you're going to get a lot of answers. You're going to see things like stealth dyslexia, phonological dyslexia, surface dyslexia, visual dyslexia, auditory dyslexia, double deficit dyslexia. Did I leave anything out you can think of, Kara?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. There's probably more. And if you are a parent trying to understand your child, you may read one of these descriptions and be like, that's it. That's my child. So today we want to talk about those labels, not because the difficulties they describe are not real. Many of them absolutely are. But there is an important difference between describing how dyslexia presents in a particular student and saying that that person has a completely different type of dyslexia.
So, we're basically asking the question, are there really different types of dyslexia?
Exactly. And maybe the more important question is this, does knowing the type actually tell us what we need to know to help a student? Because no two students with dyslexia are going to look exactly the same.
All right, Lori. So before we start taking apart all of these different terms, let's start with the basics. When we say dyslexia, what are we actually talking about?
That is a great question. That is important for everyone to understand.
Yeah.
So how I typically explain it is, and I know everyone, if you've listened to any of the podcasts about dyslexia, you probably heard these same words, but basically it's a learning difference that makes it hard for a person to connect the sounds in spoken words with the letters and letter patterns they see in print. This can make learning to read, spell, recognize words quickly much more difficult, even if the person is really smart, has had great instruction, and is really trying their best. They just have a hard time understanding how the letters and the sounds come together to make words and what sounds go with each letter. I will tell you what it's not, though. Dyslexia is not, it has zero to do with reversing letters, reading backwards, or seeing the words incorrectly, right?
Agreed. Students with the same disorder don't necessarily have identical profiles.
Exactly. We recognize individual variations without creating a completely different disorder for every single variation.
Okay. So if these aren't necessarily separate disorders, where did all these terms come from?
It's a really good question. So they don't all come from the same place. And what I have found in doing this research is that some actually do come from legitimate reading research. Some terms come from just attempts to describe the different patterns seen among the struggling readers. Some have been used clinically. Some have become very popular through websites and social media or parent groups. Marketing. But over time, all of those things kind of get mixed together. A research hypothesis becomes a type of dyslexia. A description actually turns into a diagnosis. And suddenly parents are being told that there are 6, 8, 12 different kinds of dyslexia. That's kind of where we need to slow down and ask, what is this term actually describing?
Okay, great. Well, let's start with the one I think a lot of parents have heard about, stealth dyslexia. What is stealth dyslexia?
I love that term. It just is a funny term to me. Mm. But it is, actually, we hear that all the time, don't we? I think my child has stealth dyslexia.
We do.
So usually when someone uses that term, they're describing a person whose dyslexia has just been difficult to recognize. And there are important reasons the term will resonate with a parent. It can describe a student who has great vocabulary, is very verbal, has good reasoning skills, good comprehension, gets good grades. They may even appear to read reasonably well, but the reading and the process of reading takes that particular student a lot more effort than anyone can really see, which is incredibly frustrating. And so that student is relying on context, memory, vocabulary, knowledge of the topic in order to compensate. So when I think about stealth dyslexia, I think about a really bright student who's developed really good compensatory strategies to work around those fundamental weaknesses in understanding how letters and sounds come together to make words. So they struggle to read, but they've found workarounds, basically. So if a parent says, my child has stealth dyslexia, I wouldn't necessarily tell them they're wrong, right?
No.
I'd want to know what they meant by that. Maybe what they are really telling me is that my child is very bright, nobody recognizes how hard reading is for them, which is good information, right? I don't need to invalidate that experience simply because I'd use a different term.
Yeah, that's good. Well, what about double deficit dyslexia? That one sounds much more clinical.
Double deficit is like the DDD,
mm-hmm.
Triple D. Double deficit is different from some of the dyslexia labels you may encounter online because it actually came out of research, a research hypothesis. Researchers proposed that phonological processing and rapid naming, which you guys are gonna hear a lot about, represented two separate sources of reading difficulty, and that individuals that have a weakness in both those areas might experience more significant reading problems, which actually is very commonsensical, right? The more you struggle within a particular area with specific things, the overall struggle will be bigger. That research has helped us to understand the importance of looking at both phonological processing and what we call naming speed. But somewhere along the way, the double deficit hypothesis became double deficit dyslexia, as though it were its own diagnosis. And so they're not really the same thing.
All right. But what is rapid naming?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess we should have talked about that. So we talked about phonological processing and understanding how letters and sounds come together to make words. Rapid naming is, it's not really asking, like, does your child know this? It's asking, how quickly and automatically can your child's brain recognize something it already knows, retrieve its name, say it, and move on to the next one? So when we read, right, like all we're doing is we're word calling. We're moving across the page. We see a word. We name it. We go to the next word. Now, this all happens in like a split 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. But that's the rapid naming part. You're just naming the words that you see. And so when we test that in a student, obviously we don't have them read words because that could be what's slowing them down, but we might give them a page of letters or a page of numbers or a page of colored squares and have them name those as quickly as they can. So we can kind of see, is that muscle in place? You know, can they move across the page and name something they already know quickly? So it is an important part, and a lot of kids with dyslexia struggle. But what this double deficit is saying is that the kids that have both the difficulties with rapid naming and the phonological awareness are a different subtype, but not necessarily.
Agreed. Okay, so let's talk about another one. What about phonological dyslexia? Because, as we just talked about, phonological processing is obviously very important in dyslexia.
Exactly. And honestly, I don't really see how you could separate phonological or phonological with your New York accent.
Yes.
From double deficit, right? Because they still include the phonics.
Right. Exactly.
It's important to understand. So I guess when you're looking at this stuff online, the phonological dyslexia doesn't include difficulties with rapid naming, even though it can, right? So this is where, they struggle significantly with understanding how letters and sounds come together. Sometimes they struggle to even identify the right sound that goes with a letter, or identifying a sound within a word, manipulating those sounds in words, blending sounds together to form a word, segmenting words into individual sounds, which is important for spelling and sounding out words, and then connecting those sounds with the letters, all the things. These are all very important pieces of dyslexia. But it's also important to remember this. Not only do students need to understand phonics and be able to blend sounds together, segment words into sounds, and manipulate sounds and words, they need to be able to apply those skills to their reading and spelling. These skills are pretty useless if you don't know what to do with them. This can still be a sign of dyslexia. So you can have okay phonological skills or phonological skills, but if you can't apply them, if you still can't decode a word that follows regular phonetic patterns, that's important. So adequate phonological awareness does not rule out dyslexia. You have to be able to not just have the skills, but you have to be able to apply them successfully. And I think that's really important.
Okay, so these are terms I see everywhere. Visual dyslexia, which is also called orthographic dyslexia or surface dyslexia. The first key characteristic that you'll see for this type of dyslexia is trouble reading irregular spelled words that don't follow standard phonics rules, frequent confusion with visual similar or reversible letters like the B and the D or the P and the Q, relying heavily on sounding words out phonetically rather than recognize them instantly by sight.
But wait, hang on. If a student can sound out a word phonetically, then that means that they have adequate phonological awareness and they're able to apply those rules when they read. So is this really dyslexia?
The answer is no. It is potentially a visual processing issue.
Ding, 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 ding.
My favorite topic in the whole wide world, which we've talked about a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, we have several episodes dedicated to visual processing, functional vision, how it affects reading. Now, some children with dyslexia can also have a visual processing disorder or visual difficulties, just as children without dyslexia can have it. But those difficulties on their own are not consistent with what we call dyslexia or how we define dyslexia. They're separate issues.
Okay. So we've talked about different types of dyslexia, but in my experience, I don't think parents really, really understand all of the different things that learning to read entails.
I agree. And it's an exhaustive process and there's a lot that goes into it. So for parents of kids that are struggling with reading, I would encourage them to ask some of these things. I would encourage them to ask, how well does my child recognize and manipulate sounds in language? How efficiently can my child connect sounds with letters? Can my child decode an unfamiliar word? Can they sound it out? How automatic is word recognition? How long do they have to stare at a word before they can say, oh, door? How accurate is their reading? So when you're listening to your child read, are they doing a lot of word substitutions or are they reading fairly accurately? And how fluent is that reading? Is it very choppy? Do they have to stop and look at each word, or are they able to just fluently move across the page? What does their spelling look like? Are they spelling phonetically? Are they spelling more how it sounds, or are they remembering that word looks different? Is reading significantly more effortful than we would expect? Do you feel like your child is just exhausted by reading? And what strategies do you see your child using to compensate? Because you can see when your child's found some workarounds. And then are there any other factors affecting reading, such as attention, language, memory, executive functioning?
Because all those answers actually tell you what the child needs.
Exactly. A subtype by itself doesn't give me an intervention plan. A comprehensive reading profile is what you actually need to know how to help your child.
Okay. All right. So if I'm a parent listening to this and I've been told my child has stealth dyslexia, let's say, surface dyslexia, phonological dyslexia, double deficit dyslexia. What should I do with that information?
Don't panic about terminology. Don't get hung up on the terminology. But also don't feel like you have to abandon a term that's helped you understand your child Instead, get curious about what the term is describing. Ask, what specific weaknesses are we talking about? What evidence do we have for that weakness? How is it affecting reading and spelling? And most importantly, what are we going to do about it? Because ultimately, that is what matters, right?
Right.
So if you have a child who you feel like is struggling with reading or you suspect dyslexia, I'm hoping some of this information has been helpful for you. If you have a friend or a family member who's been diagnosed with a type of dyslexia, share this with them so they can have a better understanding of what that means. And if you have questions about dyslexia or the different subtypes of dyslexia we've covered today, please do not hesitate to reach out. We are here. We are happy to answer any questions that you have. You can always reach us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. So this was good. Thank you, Kara, for being here with me today as we go through this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And thanks for sharing your years and years of knowledge and experience with the listeners.
Well, I think it's important, and I think these are questions we still get all the time about dyslexia. And you go online and you can see that people are asking and people are wondering, and I think it's just what we can do to get the information out there. So thanks everyone for being here today. I hope you all have a great day, and we will see you back here for the next episode. Bye everyone.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.